Venture through a wasteland twisted by dark magic, undead monsters, and contagious insanity where life and death are no longer opposites, but a spectrum of cruelties. Emerging from the dregs, an old king makes one final attempt to save his realm. Today's episode is brought to you by the newest project of Lee Ellis, author of the Killdash series, Godblood. Is a grim, dark short story with the audio runtime of 2 hours available on Audible and a digital print available for those that prefer reading. This exciting adventure is available now. But parents beware, it's not for the faint of heart. Stay tuned after the episode for an exclusive audio clip of Godblood. Welcome to the Nerdy Old Men Podcast. The greatest nerd, geek, and pop culture podcast in history. With your host, Redneck Wes.
He keeps screwing up, my people. God.
And that old bald man, Chad.
Come on, man. This is a fun place. Don't be a...
Good morning, Wes.
Good morning, Chad.
I have already told Wes that he is number one.
Yes.
If you understand what I'm saying.
Read between the lines.
He is, in fact, number one in your hearts, the Redneck Wes. Apparently didn't sleep last night, so he's come up with a fantastic idea for today's show.
Well, I don't know if I would call it fantastic, but, you know, it's an ideal
project. It is always fantastic. Well, dude, here we are again. But let's jump right in and do some breaking news for the podcast. Speaking of news, we got interviewed the other day.
I know, right?
By my spawn, girl spawned my daughter for a project for her multimedia journalism class because she is a journalism major at the University
Abby,
of Tennessee.
If you're listening and you fail that project,
it's not our fault. It's not our fault. It's Wes's fault.
Probably.
But she's also a contributor to the Daily Beacon, which is the university newspaper over there. It may end up over there too. I'm not real sure.
We apologize. Everybody in the
we apologize at a time for that. But, so that was kind of fun talking about that. I think she's going to actually take the video and edit it a little bit more, and we'll post it on our social media.
Oh, Lord.
And so it'll be us and our ugly faces. But anyway, how that goes. And then, let's see, the other day I guessed on the Stabcast.
How'd that go for you?
It was good. They do things a lot differently than us. They have a not really a script,
a format,
he had like this Google Doc, man, and like he was typing into it, and I could see it as he was typing on the screen, and stuff, and I was like, okay. But no, it was fun. I mean, it was different because, you know, I was sitting here with our microphone, this microphone and stuff like that.
More focused on like the Star Wars Legion.
It's all Star Wars Legion, but it was neat because it was all remote, kind of like how we used to do it.
Ah, yes.
So Ryan was cool. It was me, Ryan, and Will. I play Legion with a whole lot. The normal Stabcast guys were all unavailable, so they
went to the
Ryan rushed out. It's like Chad, you know something about podcasting, and Will, you're good at Legion. All right, let's just get together and talk. So that's what we did, and he said, and I listen to their show all the time, and it's normally like 2 hours, and we were done like an hour and 15 minutes or something like that, and he was like, my God, it's normally so much longer than this, and I'm like. And I was like, the Nerdy Old Men podcast is like a Catholic mass. In an hour and you're out. And it is on a schedule, baby. It is just how it is. And I'm Catholic, so I can say that. But anyway.
I love the way you had to put the disclaimer.
But I did.
There.
Yeah, I didn't want to. I got hate. No hate. Look, I'm a card-carrying member. Look me up. It's okay. But no, we got right top GameCon coming up this weekend.
Yes.
So we're excited about that. I'm going to be playing Legion and doing podcast stuff. So I'm going to be running around crazy. So if you see the sweating bald guy, it's probably me.
Yeah.
So say hi. Mark from Tollguard Games is going to be helping out with the Redneck Wes on the mic. So go over and meet Mark. His store is going to be there.
You can go down and see Cortland. Yeah, Cortland's going to be there. The shop.
So that's going to be awesome.
Looking forward to seeing everybody because I know a lot of the vendors that were there that we made friends with last year
yep.
are going to be back.
Yeah.
And looking forward to that because it's always fun when you go to a convention and you see folks that you know.
That's right. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of that.
That'll be the 26th through the 28th.
That's right. And so go to their website and look at that. I know there are still passes available. I don't know how many weekend passes are still available, but it's a great show. I enjoyed the heck out of it when we went last year. And let's see. I was trying to find. Okay, yeah. Miss Ashley Martin, a fan of the show, won the weekend pass.
Hey!
From our giveaway. So congratulations to Ashley. Again, I know you. I'm sure you're listening. I hope you're listening. Just a reminder, that pass will be available at the Will Call booth there where everybody can get their tickets, and it'll be available on Friday. So
That was great
with Steven and Rock Top Gang coming to do that. Them. So when you come and get your ticket, come by and see us at the booth and stuff.
We'll hook you up with some stickers.
It'll be awesome. Yeah, we'll be glad to see you. Let's see. What else, man? I don't know. What else? I'm going to finally get to see the Dungeons & Dragons movie.
Still haven't got to see
it. Well, it is, I've got Peacock. Is it Peacock or is it on Paramount Plus? One of those two. I can't remember which one it is. I have them both, and it's on one of them. I'm trying to remember what it is.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah, so I'm gonna get to watch it, but I'll watch it from my couch. So that'll be cool. I've heard some pretty good things about it.
And no one has yet to send me the giant D20 popcorn bucket.
Yeah, that is unfortunate.
Yes, I was hoping that is someone unfortunate. Would step
someone
up
really and should send that to Wes.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. What about your nerd geek world?
Well, it's been trying to prepare for the holidays because it sucks in retail.
Well, yeah.
You know, because there is no such thing as a holiday. but you know, it's. I've been doing a lot of kid wrangling because of the end of the year, so trying to get ready for that. And
we did get to play D&D.
We did get to play D&D,
so that was good. So was that last week?
It was 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, yeah. My brain, jeez.
I know it's the old.
It is the old. There's some cobwebs in there. Let me knock that
out.
But
it's fun to get together with the guys and do that. It's funny though because our buddy cosplay Cody. They had a group that started about the same time we did the same adventure. Yeah, they're done. Moving on.
Well, we're older and we have more responsibilities. So
it's Cody was very adamant about powering through it, though. He was excited about it. So anybody's got a suggestion for the next adventure for cosplay,
those
Cody,
guys,
let us know. Hit us up. We'll
Tomb
send
of
it
Annihilation,
up.
That'll piss everybody off.
Only if there's a jar of mayonnaise.
If you're not a good gamer with a lot of experience, you're going to die in that one. But let's see, another thing, big news for the show is our variant cover of Rich Davis's Prometheus in Chains went to print the other day.
Yes.
So it is going to be printed. Well, we knew that, but I'm saying it is probably printed now. We're supposed to get it in our hands sometime the first part of next month. It'll be 100 limited issues.
Yes.
Okay. Rich is going to do a little video for us promoting it. And when we do that, we're going to set up a pre-sale on our social media if you want to buy an issue ahead of time. If you're from out of town, we'll arrange shipping to you. Wes and I were talking about how to properly get it
yes,
shipped. And since
comics must be protected at all
right,
costs.
Right, and since Wes has done a lot of shipping and buying of comics, and his dad is a retired postman, that's helpful.
Yes.
To get it safely to you. We'll also have it at events that we're going to be at. Unfortunately, we won't have it at Rugged Up Game Con, but we should have it for the rest of the events we're going to be at the year. So if you pre-order it, we can hold it for you, and you can come pick it up at an event, or we can get it to you, or something to that effect. We'll figure it out, but we're going to have them, and we're super excited
about
that. We will
get those books in your grubby little hands.
We're super excited about that. We're going to do a review of Prometheus and Chains issue 1, because Rich is a huge friend of the show, and he sent us a media copy of that. So we're going to read through that, and Wes and I
sounds
will
all
review.
Professional.
But it's a fact. That's what it is.
I mean, we're media now.
It's what it is. But we're not good at it. But it's Wes's charm that keeps us through.
My
voice and Wes's charm. That's all it is. But anyway, so that's exciting. So please reach out to us if you're interested in that. We are going to. We'll do something like you send it. send us through PayPal or something.
We'll get something figured out.
We'll put you on a spreadsheet. Make sure that issue is.
Chad's talking.
Is dedicated to you,
but he doesn't realize it.
What's that?
I said you're talking this one to death, but you don't realize it.
Yeah, I don't realize it yet. Yeah. Anyway, no, it's my energy drink.
You send us money, we send you books. So, that's how it works. Okay.
Anyway, so carrying on. Man, jeez, God. You know, the freaking rabbit hole. Going down the rabbit hole.
usually you're the one that has to keep this show on the
road. I know, right?
Oh,
today,
that's what you get for drinking a Monster.
It's the Monster Energy Ultra Watermelon that I had this morning.
You should have got you a Rockstar.
Oh,
it
was Rockstar or Pepsi, probably.
Yeah, that's what we said.
I do like the Zero. That's another thing. If anybody wants to give me a gift at an event, the Zero.
He may need that this weekend.
The Zero
weekend,
Rock Stars, the Fruit Punch in particular, is very good. But anyway, Wes, what are we talking about today?
Well, this is one that I've got to thinking about because, you know, I get on the online sometimes and I don't do the TikTok, but some of them are hilarious. And
well, you do the TikTok enough to watch it.
Well, I mean, I can watch. I don't know how to make one.
No. We've made like four for the show.
You have. But,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, one of you is
but
dancing.
Some of there's one guy, and I cannot think of his name right off, but he always talks about Gen X, you know,
being Gen Xers. Yeah. Heck,
you know, just certain things. And I was like.
The second greatest generation. The second. The greatest generation being the first, in my opinion. But anyway, carry on.
Well, anyways. Oh, goodness, we're already off.
Yeah.
But our generation, you know, was unique in the fact that we had an analog childhood and a digital adulthood.
Yes.
And it kind of got me thinking, you know, we're always labeled nerds and geeks and whatnot. But it's like, what piece of technology, like, what is the ultimate geek technology? What is that one piece of technology you can't be a geek without? Or
nowadays, yes.
Well, and this is where I, you know, in my head I got to thinking, it depends on that, how old you are in kind of the Gen, because, you know, Gen X is like, what, 65 to 80 or something.
The best years.
But it evolves, like. You know, what is, you know, if you've got that, well, God, that guy's a nerd, you know, you know. Pocket protector, you know.
Well, you know, we got to look at, like, when we were young. We've said this many times, but if we wanted a D&D book, you know, we had to travel a long ways to a bookstore and hope they had something, or mail order it from the little black and white catalog. Yeah. What was the name of that again?
Ralph Partha.
No, the other one that had
War Games West.
Yeah, War Games West. Yes, War Games West catalog. That was exciting to get that, man. But that's what we had to do. You couldn't even look inside it. You couldn't do anything. There was no reviews that you could really find out of.
It's like, hey, there's this book. Do you want to buy it?
Yeah.
I mean, now you can get online and you can buy the book. You don't even have to have a physical copy.
I mean, I think maybe just to lop the head off of it and we'll kind of expand on it. But I think, man, really the internet and but more specifically, maybe internet on your phone has been a huge leap for any fandom, but let's just say, you know, nerd stuff in general, because you've got Facebook groups, you've got Discord groups, you've got Reddit groups, you've got all this stuff, you've got Instagram pages that are dedicated to something, you know, where you can interact and talk with other people about your fandom, what you like, and things like that. And then all of the news and information that you get from companies, Wizards of the Coast's face or social media or whatever it happens to be, you know, Hasbro, if you're a toy collector, you know, you get everything instantly and almost as much information as you want about it right away, because the company spits it out there to you.
Yeah.
Versus the War Games West catalog is a black and white blurry picture of a book and you didn't even know it. A little description. I'm like, I don't know. Sounds good. You know what I mean? Well, and that's, I think that's just a gigantic leap.
That was kind of the direction that I was leaning towards was, you know, when we were in our late teens, early 20s, you know, the internet really hit where, you know, it wasn't something you had to go to a specific place. You could do it in your house.
Yeah.
You know, with the advent of the smartphone, you know, you've got more computing power in your pocket on that phone than what they did to put a man on the moon.
Right.
You know, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
If you think about it, you can do more with that phone than NASA did with an entire room full of computers.
Right. And the neat thing about just a computer in general, right?
And that was the second one I was going to say was the personal computer.
Personal computer, because back in the day, you know.
Handy color computer, too, that was nothing but a keyboard that right. you plugged well, into you know, the TV.
But when you attach that to, like, D&D stuff, I remember, or anything in general, I remember I had a Commodore 64.
Mm-hmm.
To begin with, that my dad got, and we used it, you know, together. I used it to play games, but I also built it. It was like a predecessor for me to spreadsheets, but it really was nothing more than just a text document
mm-hmm.
That I created for my baseball card collection.
Had everything cataloged.
I was a big Ryan Sandberg fan for Chicago Cubs, and so I collected his cards and I would list all the ones I had, you know, and then I'd listed the ones that I knew existed that I didn't have. Because, again, I didn't know what I didn't know. Mm-hmm. There was no way to know because now I could pick up this phone and go, list of Ryan Sandberg baseball cards. And it'll give me a list of everything that ever existed.
Yeah.
Probably within a second, right, or less. But I didn't have that then. So that was an early way that I adopted that for a fandom. I know I listed D&D stuff, created rudimentary character sheets, crap like that, and print them off on dot matrix printers. You know,
good old dot matrix, such a workhorse.
But I mean, that's something that we did in early adopted type adventure games. Like, I was trying to think of what it was. Totally text, of course, everything was text-based, but it was a totally text-based game that I played, and I'll remember at some point, but that was, like, super cool, you know. But now, I mean, you don't even have to go to GameStop. If you have a PlayStation or an Xbox, you can download a role-playing game without leaving the house.
Well, it was just one of those things. I got to thinking about this. You're talking about playing games. You know, you were lucky, but you were also kind of a nerd. If you had, you know, the Atari 2600
yep.
hooked to a TV on the rolling stand, yes. And kids would not... Kids nowadays have no idea how big of a baller you were. If you had, you know, that little yep. flimsy
yeah.
cart with a TV on it yeah, and you rolled it in.
Side note, it's not that flimsy because I have a scar under my goatee. From the corner of one of those. So, they're not that flimsy.
It is a weapon. It will
puncture
blood.
A hole in a five-year-old's chin. So.
But, you know, that was it's funny because, you know, you've got something like that. You know, you had to have this big setup, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the TV was the size of a wall safe.
The little switch on the thing that you had to
antenna,
switch.
Antenna, TV.
Yeah. But that was a thing, man. And my dad got an Atari, and he and I played it some together because – it seems like I remember, like, he liked to play that. Because, you know, it was a really
like
simple
Pitfall
game.
Or
you know, yeah. And war or tanks or whatever it was called. You can bounce the round around. But that, yeah, you're talking
but
about
then,
you're
you
the
know,
crap then.
You know, that was, I can remember, you know, a friend of mine had one of those. And I was just like, oh, my gosh. And then, you know, for us, it was the original NES.
Yeah.
You know, Nintendo, like, hit.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, my God.
And it's like,
because if we wanted to play a video game,
yeah,
you had to – because, like, for us, you know, we'd go to Whitson's Mall, and they had, like, three games
yep.
down the hallway.
Yeah, and there was always kids at those games.
You know, so you had to do – if oh, I hope we're going to town because, yeah. you know, maybe we'll stop at the mall and, you know, you find a few quarters, you know.
Yeah.
And
bump in those games, yeah.
But – when you got a Nintendo.
But when the NES came out, yeah.
You had it at home.
And I don't know what the price point was on that thing, but it seemed like everybody I knew had one.
I remember, I've probably told this story before, but I remember the year was 1987.
Here we go.
Well, it was 86, and I can remember everybody having a Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally worked up the nerve to ask my dad mm-hmm. if he'd buy me a Nintendo. He said, how much are they? I said, they're $100. He said, well, I'll tell you what. I got excited when he said that.
It's like, oh, there's a deal coming. Some kind of deal coming.
You save up your money. I'll take you where we got to go to buy one. The only place I knew to go get one was at Toys R Us over when it used to be Moment of Silence for Toys R Us.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Was the one over by the mall, over by Easttown Mall. That was the only one I knew of. Mm-hmm. So I saved and saved and saved. Went and bought Nintendo. Came with Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt.
Yeah, man. The gray blaster?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Not the orange one.
Yep.
And I never will forget, it was $109. To this day, I still have it.
Yep.
It still works.
Yep.
That was the lesson I learned, is you take care of your stuff.
Yeah. Well, especially if you pay for it
yourself. But I mean, I felt like, you know, Elon Musk at that point, because I had this in my room.
You have it.
You know, I had to.
Yeah.
I had gotten a TV, and
yeah,
I had this Nintendo, and I was sitting on my bed playing Nintendo. It was the greatest thing ever. Yeah. You know.
And then we talk about it.
Well, it was, you know, because that was still one of those things, you know, for the boys it was cool. Everybody else, you know, and like my sister was like, well, that's kind of nerdy. Well, I mean.
Well, it's kind of before
that. When I actually showed her how to play, then she
ooh, this is cool. Yeah.
Yeah, you do the whole thing. Here, let me show you. And you take the controller with her, and then.
But, you know, like, right before then, I mean, yeah, Atari, right? But there wasn't, like, any more information about Atari. I think the only way you found out anything about new games coming out is go to the store and they were there.
Yeah.
Well, when Nintendo did Nintendo Power magazine. Yeah. And I had a subscription to that, and it was a cool magazine. I still think it's one of the coolest magazines that's ever been released. They're collectible now.
Apparently. They are. Yeah. And what was funny was our buddy Anson Norman.
Yep.
He got it when it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm telling it right, I believe he kept the subscription until they finally shut it down.
That's awesome. It was a cool magazine. It really was.
Wait, and
it was something that was about your fandom that you loved.
Yeah.
You could learn things about the games you had and find out about things that are coming out. And it was so cool that back in the day, I had a subscription, and I know I've said this before, they sent me Dragon Warrior for free. I got the game. Dragon Warrior came in the mail with that month's issue of Nintendo Power Magazine.
Wow.
I don't know why I got it. Maybe I think I got the subscription when it first came out too, like Anson. So Anson probably got it too. I don't know. I haven't researched it as to why that got sent out, but that's how I got it. It came in the package with the magazine, and it was one of my favorite NES games because it was like, you know, it's like D&D.
Yeah, well, what's funny about it though
is, but that stuff doesn't happen anymore, but it was really cool.
If you think about it though, you know, us sit here talking about a magazine as technology.
To us, it was.
It was, because we didn't have the internet or YouTube where you can say, well, crap, I'm stuck on this level. I can't figure it out. What do I do? And you just, and you know, and
yeah.
You watch a video.
You watch a video, I'm doing it. Yeah.
Oh, okay, this is how you do it. You know, for us, that Nintendo Power might as well have been the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I don't know how to do it. Well, if you do this little trick right here, because I remember Super Mario Brothers 3 had come out.
Yeah.
They had went through, because it had the little, like, guessing game, like,
you know, flip over the card.
Well, Nintendo.
That was Mario 3, yep.
Nintendo Power had, like, okay, if you flip over this card and you flip over this card and it's this, then it's this puzzle. And you could go through and get all the bonus items, you know, and go through and get all the free stuff out of it. And then at the end, you know, where it had the little box, so the, you know, it would be like a star or a flower or a mushroom, whatever. If you hit it at a certain angle, it would give you a star every time. So, you know, you'd be like invincible going through the next level. But it was little things like that.
That's so cool, though. But and people, some of our younger listeners, you may not, you know, this might be a really foreign concept to you, which is one good reason to do this show. But I was like, yeah, that's so cool.
But that was technology to us.
Yeah. Know?
I mean,
yeah.
In a loose translation, but yeah. Because where else are you going to find stuff like that?
Well, and magazines was a big deal before the internet for finding out information and just devouring that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Because you had Nintendo Power. There was Toy Fair Magazine. There's, there was some other video game ones and some comic. There was, what was the comic one that,
Advanced Comics.
Advanced Comics, yeah. There was something else, too, that was like previews or something like that.
Yeah.
All that stuff was like, cool.
Well, I mean, it was like, with baseball or football, basketball card, you had the Beckett.
Yep. Beckett prize guide. But in the front of the Beckett prize guide was like, these are new sets that are coming out and things like that. And
that's how you learn stuff.
Oh, it's so cool. Well, now you just grab your phone and look it up.
Okay, got it.
Here's a
challenge. Well, and take your phone and ordered it.
Yeah.
Right.
And here's a challenge, and I've done it before just accidentally, if you're at a bookstore. Or probably a bookstore's the better because they've got this big magazine section, right? But walk back there and look. You don't see those magazines anymore. It seems like the multitude of stuff that's there that isn't tabloid stuff is like anthology maybe isn't the right word, but it's like it's a magazine that talks about something, one entire subject in a one-off.
Yeah.
Magazine. So it's like a soft cover book.
Yeah.
And that's what you find back there. You don't necessarily find these old things because they won't sell because you don't need them because now you get everything digitally.
Yeah.
And so there is that nostalgia that's lost, I think, from that. But is it a bad thing? No, it's not really a bad thing because you can
just a convenience.
You can gain more information.
But I remember this. Our first VCR.
Oh, yeah. Movies at home.
That was like.
Movies at home.
if you had a camcorder and a VCR, you were a god. Because you could make your own movies. Which we did, by the way. Yes. There's some really bad D&D movies running around somewhere.
I wish I still had those. but those are things that.
Well, I mean, you always had like the because guys usually like gadgets, mm-hmm. You always had the dad that had, oh yeah, I got this camcorder thing, and I'm gonna make movies. We always ended up playing with it because.
Yeah. My dad had one.
Well, we figured stuff out because I can remember going back to the VCR. Like my dad, he hated, because there was more than one button to push. you had to hit like three buttons to get it to do what he wanted to do. He didn't like that.
And folks, you wonder why Wes is the way that he is.
Yeah. I mean,
he's just like his dad.
He said, "I don't understand. I want to push the button, and watch the Braves." You gotta hit this. Gotta hit this. Make sure it's on this channel.
Yeah.
I want to hit the button, watch the Braves. That's all you want
to
do.
But those were exciting things to be able to go to the video store and rent the videos.
Well, if you wanted to watch a movie, like when we were younger, you had to go to the theater. Mm-hmm. Or if you were lucky enough to catch it on cable TV.
Before VCRs.
Before VCRs.
I guess Betamax was technically, before that, but I never.
I knew one person that ever had
we're
a Betamax.
Old, but
I knew one person that ever had a Betamax.
Yeah, that's the 8-track of movie. but yeah, and then that stuff come out, and you could go to the video store and get them. Because if not, like, if you got to go see Empire Strikes Back at the movie theater once, then before. Of course, I don't have my timeline right. But
81.
I'm talking about VCRs.
Oh, I don't know.
But
when
if you
came
didn't
out.
Have that, that was the only time you ever got to see it.
Yeah.
Ever. I mean, it was it. You're not going to get to see it again, unless you went back to the theater or when VCRs became more widely available and you could go to the store and buy the movie or you go, Family Video and rent it, Blockbuster for others.
It was one of those things that was one of those pieces of technology. Even though it was nerdy, you're going to go watch a movie at home. But once you did it, you're like, this is pretty cool.
And now I could pick this thing up right now, go to Disney Plus and have Empire Strikes Back rolling in like 30 seconds, on the phone. And that's, is that a bad thing? No, I don't think that's a bad thing.
I do miss going to the video store because that was one of the
That was just a cool thing. That was
just
like
going
a destination.
It was a family outing. Because, okay, we're going to get two, because mom and dad are going to get one that they want to watch.
Yep.
And then you and your brother or sister have got to agree.
Yeah.
And this is what was great about, I'm going down a rabbit hole here, but this is what was great about, like, going to a video store was they had all these movies. And this is why our generation is tougher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you're, hey, let's get Halloween. That sounds like it'll be fun. Friday the 13th.
Go more than that. For Faces of Death. Which I never watched. I did not care to do that. I ended up getting to see too much of that later in my life to begin with, in reality. But
yeah, there was like, oh yeah, you're what, 12? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, sure, who the hell cares? Toughen up, you know?
But I mean, yeah, the rules are a little fast and loose back then, because now everybody would have a conniption. But yeah, there was stuff like that that we probably shouldn't have watched when we did. Yes.
But, oh, you know, something else. I mean, going back to the internet stuff, and we had an entire episode way early in our, in our freaking podcast.
This career. Is before, like,
that episode was rough. But go back and listen to it. It actually has some decent content. It just sounds bad because we didn't have all this cool stuff. But the BBS.
I mean, that was the internet.
Being
for us.
Able to, quote unquote, multiplay. Oh, gosh. Even though it was really only one of you at a time. But to play these games. And against each other and for each other and you know, with each other and have this collaborative thing. And then everybody blowing up Benji's freaking ship and then where it almost caused fights, like actual physical confrontations.
Well, I mean, the whole thing was everybody
was great
because yes, it was technically multiplayer, but you could only play one at a time.
Yep.
Everybody's setting up until midnight.
At midnight, waiting to go.
When it reset.
Waiting to go. Here we go.
Because you only got so much time on a BBS.
Yes. Yep. You had to get in and get your stuff
I can't remember
done.
What was it like.
I don't remember. It depended on the BBS.
But if you had 30 minutes, you got 30 minutes.
Yep.
When you ran out of time, because there was a time bank, you could actually,
that's right.
I only was on for 20 minutes, so I'm going to bank these 10 minutes and use them later.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. And so everybody would try to get on as early as, because I wanted to get on before Chad got on, so that I could get on Trade Wars, find out where that sucker was at, blow him up.
Yep. I think most of the time we ended up working together, but.
And we had a corporation.
We did like, a corporation, yeah.
Peace and
it
some
was,
of our.
God, it was fun. And, you know, it's funny, like, if you played, you know, if you're like playing Call of Duty or something now, and then you have those lobbies that where people are just cussing and yelling and hating on each other and stuff like that. Well, we didn't have that, so we did that at school.
Oh, gosh. You could tell coming, like, on a Monday morning, you can tell how bad somebody's weekend had been.
Oh, they got a rough Trade Wars weekend.
I hate you guys. I hate all of you. You all suck. I'm not your friend anymore.
Yeah. And then whoever's running the BBS eventually would reset the universe. And then the game started all over again.
Yeah.
And people picked different sides and everybody survived.
So,
and it was okay.
It was so fun because you didn't know what was going to happen. If you're playing Halo now and you're. Or Destiny, whatever the game is now, and you can see what's happening right then.
You didn't know till you logged in.
You didn't know till you logged in what was going on.
And if it had been a bad day for you, and you logged in, and then it was just like, scroll.
Okay,
this is how you got obliterated while
red is bad. There's a lot of red. Yeah. Red. No, it's not good.
Yeah, while you couldn't get on, this is how bad your life went. I've been working on that damn planet for a month.
What was bad was what was. If somebody had access to a phone, hey Chad, I know where he's at. I'm calling you, and you hurry up and try to log on. Yeah. You
he's
type a, the phone all
he's
day.
He's in sector 1205. Get him,
and then you warp in there and tagging. Okay, I blew his ship up. You
tag
know.
Team the hell out of him.
Oh, I think the worst thing I ever did on that was Peace knew Anson's password.
Oh God.
Because he used Freddie Mercury for everything.
Yeah, that's true.
Because he was a big Queen fan.
Yeah.
And so Jason would log on his Ansen, find out where he's at, log off,
and log on,
and he'd go blow him up. And then log back in, find out where he's at.
It was like a skate pod. And then yeah, go and get then, and then
either go kill him or tell somebody else and they would go kill him.
We did that to the guy, to Jeff. When his name Jeff
was the guy that ran the
other BBS. Because Brad ran the one.
He ran one, Jeff ran the one.
And we played, it was Battletech or something.
Oh, no.
Mech Warrior. Yeah. And we found out where he was and everybody ganged up and killed the guy that was running the BBS. We blew his mech up, and then he sent everybody a message that said, "Shit, you think I stupid?" And then we all got kicked off, and it was just a grand time, you know. But, this guy was like 50 years old, and we were like 16.
It was
a mess, dude.
Oh gosh, but that was
a piece of technology.
That was some really big tech, but you know, if you weren't into that sort of things, you know, you're sitting in a room on a computer all day playing a game.
Yeah.
And a loser are you? That was the mentality.
That was the mentality, yeah.
So it was a lot of fun. And it was one of those, it kind of felt like the Wild West. Because, I mean, it was lawless and anything goes.
It really was. And oh my God, it was good times, man. That was good times. And I remember it very, very fondly.
And this is, you were sitting there holding your phone. This made me think of this one. You remember when like the brick phone came out? The big Morris.
Yeah.
And if you saw somebody with one of those, you're like, what a nerd. It's like there's a phone right there on the corner. I put a quarter in, call whoever I wanted.
Yeah.
You know. And
I had a bag phone. I had a Motorola bag phone.
I had a Motorola bag phone when I got my car.
Yep. Paid for it myself.
And it sat right there.
Yep.
In the middle.
I seatbelted it into that old freaking red GMC S15 I had, so it wouldn't fly all over the place.
I had that Geostorm.
Yeah.
And the way where the emergency brake would go, mm-hmm. it was the right size for the bag, so it sat right there.
Yeah, I remember we'd call each other on it. Yeah, but that was going to play D&D.
Talk quick because it's fast, dude.
Yeah, it's costing money.
10 cents a minute here. Yep. We gotta get wrap it up. Shut up, man.
That's probably aided us in how we can non-verbally communicate with back then.
But that was one of those things that, you know, starting out, cell phones, you're kind of like, God, what a nerd. Now it's one of those things people can't live without it.
Yep.
I mean, just go somewhere in public and just watch. Everybody has got a phone in their hand. They're looking down.
Yeah, and it's part of the culture, but it also aids us in the nerdom stuff that we do.
Oh, absolutely.
Like Star Wars Legion, when I go play Rocky Top, you know, when I'm going to play my games at Rocky Top. Again, I'm also doing the podcast stuff, but when I go there, it's all on this website called Game Uplink. So I've registered on it. I have uploaded my list to it. And when Ryan starts the rounds there, it will scramble everything up, tell you who you're facing, what table you're facing, and it will show both parties' lists so that you can look at it. And then you enter your results, units killed, what the situations were, so what the deployment, what the objective, what all that stuff in there, so it can keep statistics and it'll kick out all those stats.
Now there's a nerd,
yeah,
thing.
I mean, it's because you don't have to go over to somebody and go, "Hey, I won. This was,"
and they're writing it down on all
there.
And
so Ryan's got his laptop sitting over there, and all of it gets fed into there. And so they can afterwards they can kick out and say there was this many Empire players. The winning rate for Empire players was this. This was the most used objective that, you know, so there's all these stats to it, which, you know, I don't even know what kind of gaming tournaments there probably were when we were young, but that didn't exist. You didn't have that kind of stuff. So that aspect of technology is pretty darn good for what we all like. You know, when you've got collector's apps, I do too.
Oh, yeah. I've got comics in there.
Yeah. I mean, so, and it's right there at your hand. It aids you in, it's funny because for us, for you, you know, for, and me with the toys, that's an old love of ours that has carried on. And we have adapted, we have taken technological advances and used those to foster that love of whatever it is.
Oh, I got that. Just makes me think of a funny story happened the other day. So our buddy Mike from Mike's House Comics.
Yes. God love Mike. Go see Mike, by the way.
Yeah. He hollered at, he sent me a message and he said, "Hey, I got some Joes." I mean, they're pretty cherry, you know? So I was like, "Oh, you know,
yeah.
I'm your guy."
Yeah, he's your pusher.
But we got to talking, we were on the phone talking and there was something he was trying to tell me because he'd bought a collection off this guy and there were some books that he was interested in. And he was trying to learn some more about him. So, you know, I can hear him typing away. He's online and stuff. And he's like, "I'm trying to find," you know, and he's looking. He's thinking, "Hang on a minute." You know, and he walks over to the okay, got it. You know, because that's the way Mike's mind works. He can find it quicker than he can typing it in, trying to, you know, do the tech. So that's one of those things where technology is not always better than, but, you know, you get somebody like Mike.
He knows his story.
Yeah, somebody like Mike, you know, he walks over here and scroll, and he comes like, "Okay, try here." And then he can tell you, like, you know, who did the art, who did the pencil, who did the ink, and you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And, but it was funny that, you know, because, you know, I've caught myself, you know, getting to the point, like, "Crap, what was that?" You know, and so you start scrolling, because it is so much more convenient. But, you know, how much nerdier can you get? You got comic books on your phone.
It's pretty rough, man. It's pretty rough, but that's okay.
But it's. It's one of those things we've always been made fun of for stuff like that, but
now it's a whole lot more mainstream.
Yeah. And to see like technology, like, you know, cause 20 years ago, if we had been doing something like this, oh my gosh, what a couple of nerds. Now we have this really cool stuff that we can do all, you know, we can worldwide.
Yep. Literally.
And people are going, "Oh my God, what a couple of nerds."
Well, that's why we named the show the Nerdy Old Men Podcast.
True dat.
Sometimes attempted to be duplicated, but never completed in the way that we do it.
I don't think that means what you think it means. But anyways.
I think it does. If I want
often
to say,
imitated, yeah, never.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, so, often imitated, never duplicated. That's it.
But, you know, it's neat to see how things have changed and things that were considered out there or, you know, kind of nerdy have become like everyday just
common stuff. Yeah.
Because I like to think of like Saved by the Bell and Screech. And yep. He had like the robot.
Yep.
You know, he was a character for a little while. And he was, we're getting to that point
because,
you know, people are wanting to make Terminators is what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's not a good...
Skynet is...
AI is a little bit scary right now, I'm saying.
But it's one of those things where that was looked at as something nerdy. You know, you got a robot.
Yeah.
To now people are getting, you know, like ChatGPT, to write papers for them.
So now the... sidetrack. Now the schools have to figure out how to determine... that's legit or not.
Well, you could tell plagiarism real easy because you wouldn't open the encyclopedia. Word for word.
I mean, I remember when I was getting my degrees as an adult, when I submitted papers, it went through a clearinghouse type software that would look for
like copy and paste kind of stuff.
Yeah, look for something. I don't know exactly what it looked for, but it looked for something. I mean, whether or not that was a farce. And they couldn't really tell, but I mean,
doing one of those things, you know, kind of like, you know, scary.
Yeah,
oh, we have the technology, we can find you.
Whatever. I mean, I wrote my own stuff, whether it was good or bad. I mean, so how will AI play into our fandoms?
Well, I mean,
I don't know. Write me a D&D adventure. You know, I don't know.
Dragon shows up, you die. The end.
Yeah, no joke.
But I mean. With something like that, you know, because growing up with Star Wars, you know, there was droids everywhere, and it was just, it's a droid. You didn't really think about the fact there's a robot talking to me.
Yeah, you can buy. I actually had one of the invites from Amazon, but I declined it because I didn't want to spend the money on it at the time. But Astro is a droid that Ring, the camera systems, the security system, has created in conjunction with Amazon. And it's a little droid, has three wheels, and it has like a an Echo Show, like a big screen on it, and he'll blink and stuff at you. He'll follow you around the house. He's a security robot. He's got a telescoping camera on the top of it that'll go up and look out windows and
flash. I wonder where they came up with that idea.
Yeah, huh? Right. I mean, it will legit do that. And there are things like, it's very, very new, so it's like beta. But the thing about it is it's got a little cargo bay in the back that has a USB port. And you can put a USB-driven, or they're talking about creating one, like a blood pressure monitor or a health monitor in it. And like if you have an elderly parent or something that is wearing like maybe a diabetes monitor or something like that, then Astro can follow them around and like help them. It doesn't have any arms or anything like that, but it can just follow them around and sit in the room and monitor their monitor. And if something goes south, then it will notify
you. Call for help.
Yeah. And it's pretty cool. It'll it'll hear glass break and it'll go to it. And things like that. So it's got a neat thing, and it's got funny things. Like you could stick one of those little Furbo video Wi-Fi treat dispensers for cats or dogs, and it'll fit in the back of it. And so you could like drive it around and it'll, you know, or you can tell it to go and look at whatever. But that, I mean, that's, I'm like, holy crap, that's like an astromech. You know what I mean? It's like legit, like just rolling around doing what you want it to do.
I had not seen that, but that's nuts.
It's pretty dang cool, man. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
But you know, that's one of those things. It's like, dude, on a TV show where the robot is a nerd, now people have got him to check on Meemaw.
Well, which is fascinating. I mean, that's a really cool. I mean, some people are like, it's Big Brother or whatever, but I mean, that's a neat thing. I mean, if you had an elderly parent, because the thing will go back and recharge itself. It's like autonomous.
A Roomba or whatever.
Yeah, it's autonomous. You know, you just tell it, you give it the program, what do you want it to do, and it'll do it. You know, and it's another one of those things like on it, you could, you know, if it detected something, you know, mom's sugar's gone down or something, you know what I mean? And it lets you know, then you can video call through it and it'll look up at her and she could see your face and you're like, mom,
if it doesn't do a hollow projection.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, mom, you need to eat something, your blood sugar, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's just a neat thing. And that's a use of technology. I mean, it's a nerd thing, but it's also a practical thing. So I just made me think about that. I was like, man, that's pretty dang cool.
That's wild though. I mean, because you know, something that would come from sci-fi that was considered
and
nerdy.
You know, whoever came up with that thing is a Star Wars fan or something.
Absolutely. So, I mean
the geeks have inherited the world.
Yes.
I mean, look at Elon Musk. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just, you know, like, I don't know, let me figure something out. But back to our main topic before we go is that, yeah, some of that nostalgia stuff like magazines and non-web-based playing of things and stuff is gone, right? And that's something I'm glad we got to experience. But I think us of our generation and folks a little older that are still into this kind of stuff, this advances in technology help us enjoy what we like. And I think we can appreciate that because we got to experience the other thing.
Well, I mean, just look at us playing D&D. You know, our character sheets have gone to
digital. Touch screen on my freaking Chromebook.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even roll dice.
Yeah.
I just hit a button. Because the dice are cool, because if you roll a 20, it does something cool on the screen. And if you roll a 1, it does something
extra,
else.
Yeah,
well, I did that originally because I thought we were going to end up having to play.
But, you know, it was the fact that if you wanted to play, you had to get together.
Yeah.
And, I mean, hey, man, we got a dry erase map.
Which we still use.
Well, I know, but what I'm saying is, for us, that was a technological advance, you know, because we just had to imagine, okay, what are you doing? Okay. Now you can kind of plan it out. Well, now you can have an animated map, you know, and the lights and, you know, like places like Roll20.
Yep.
You know, we were able during the pandemic
to continue to play,
get together online and play. So that was one of those things, you know, I'm sure when it first started, everybody's like, you're going to play online. I'm a bunch of dorks.
Yeah.
And then when the world shut down and it became like, man, I can't see my friends. I can't do anything.
Right. Yeah.
Wait a minute. This is not as,
you still do that.
This is not as nerdy as I thought it was. And this is very useful.
And that's taking something that has been around for a long time. That was very old school, pencil and paper, mm-hmm. right? Implementing technology to it so that you can still do it and be with your friends. And that's a pretty darn fascinating thing.
So as nerdy as it is,
yep, it's there.
Still like it. Still
well, like, and one more thing just made me think about it is younger generation. So like my son, Brady, he loves old stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So he uses, you know, as a teenager in 2023, he uses technology to research old things that he goes and gets. Like he's got a vast vintage video game collection. He's got a vast vintage vinyl collection. And he does that, which is, I think, is neat. And maybe that's a different thing where sometimes kids that have old souls or they like things like that are now using technology to revert to a lower technology. Mm. And I think that's kind of neat, man. I mean, that's kind of neat. I mean, he bought a dadgum CRT TV, you know, weighs like 3,000 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, it's like 20 inches, weighs like literally like 100 pounds, yeah. Dude. Yeah. And it sits in the floor and I can't move it. But that's what because he wanted the vintage feel of it, that old technology. And I think that's neat. And I think there's probably a whole lot of young people that do that too. Because there's a big market for old games. Yeah. And I think it's because it's so, maybe they're just in something inside them goes, man, it's too easy to do this.
I think it's our fault because, you know, the Gen Xers never grew up. Like,
that's true.
You know, we got older. We just didn't grow up. And so, you know, sitting here in the man cave looking, you know, at all this like disposable stuff, yeah. income that you have put into toys, you know.
I wanted to call it disposable.
Well.
But the point is.
It was allocated into a way that.
Point is, I mean, when my dad was my age, he wasn't buying anything like that.
Yeah.
Because to him, it wasn't. Even if he liked it, I mean, he's still got an old G.I. Joe 12-inch ones that he had as a kid.
Yeah.
And he's got it. He's keeping it. You know, that's it. That's his attachment to when he was a kid, right? But he didn't purchase any more and never will, probably. And maybe that generation, boomers, baby boomers, it just wasn't a thing for a lot of them. But for us, I think it is.
Yeah.
Maybe. Or maybe it's that everybody I know and care about.
that's the same kind of stuff
as me.
So we're all, but, this is normal.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, you know, that's just kind of how it is, man. But that's been fun. Wes, you come up with another good idea.
I do what I can.
You still are number one. But maybe just the index better finger this time.
I guess it's better than being number 11.
I can give you one of those, too. Give me a hell yeah. But anyway.
Language.
Hey, whatever. Hey. Come see us at Rocktop Game Con this weekend if you're listening to this episode when it airs, which will be May 19th, 2023. That's Friday. Next weekend.
It's next weekend.
Next weekend. My caffeine's wearing off. So come see us next weekend.
Somebody get Chad a rock star, please.
Yes. Until then, this is the Nerdy Old Man Podcast. Redneck Wes.
He just got completely screwed that up.
I did. Let me try that again. No. Nah, I don't want to try that again.
Yeehaw.
You good? Toy boat. Toy boat.
Toy boat. Toy boat. Toy boat. Toy boat. Toy boat. Toy boat. Toy boat. Toy boat. Toy boat. Toy boat. Toy boat. Toy boat. Toy boat. Toy boat. Toy boat.
Toy boat. Toy boat. And now, a sample of Lee Ellis's God Blood.
Came up for Rogot's belly. He parried, elbowed Garagot in the teeth, then slammed him into a tree. Through the tree, and out the other side, and into the dirt. Splinters fell all around, and the severed tree came falling, crushing a giant mushroom to the earth. Garagot kicked Rogot, and he went soaring, flipped backwards and crashed down 20 paces away. The Mushroom King was up and after him. Rogot grabbed his axe, pulling up a handful of leaves with it, and leapt to his feet. Their weapons collided, and they were at it again, snarling, hacking, shoving, and punching, god blood thumping in their veins. Garagot thrusted the flat side of his blade hard against Rogot's axe, pressed him back, then shoved a crust-covered finger deep into Rogot's ear.